Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. Each week we sit down and discuss our favorite lore topics from within the Destiny universe. Specifically, we intend to take a close look at a specific question that has been nagging us and potentially the Destiny community as a whole. To fulfill that, our discussions tend to assume that you already have some background in the Destiny lore. Despite that, our goal is to be as lighthearted and welcoming to everyone as possible. With that out of the way, let's dive into this week's topic.
you gotta avoid the milk and plates. You gotta bury it. Sorry. Seinfeld flashbacks. All right. Destiny talk. Start Indeed. Shifting gears there. Yeah, so I really like this. I feel like there's a lot of legs for it. Honestly, it might be something that they're planning having written the initial story in the first place. Or perhaps like they're well aware that they specifically put it into the lore that the Guardian was on that ship and was like stuck in a thing. But like they also like you know what I mean. You guys know the story. Guardian tries to stop the Almighty. Something gets exploded or switched off, and he's basically stuck in like a slow moving time stasis. So for him, like it's like been like maybe a millisecond, and it's already like years later for us. And we know his ghost got out of there. We know his ghost wrote that entry telling us the story in Ghost Stories about what was going down and how I think they're like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ever gonna see him again, but I'm just gonna be a little ghost courier in the meantime. It's going to deliver messages, and perhaps important packages and parcels to different folks. Part of the Ghost Network. The Ghost Network is the official Destiny Pony Express, in my view, by the way.
Oh, man, we should do that as a theory.
Yeah, add it to the list, please, Hair Bagels.
Oh, man, it's GPS, Ghost Postal Service.
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm stealing that.
My GPS has been faulty. My package was supposed to be here yesterday. Don't you have GP standards? I think it's got a lot of legs. I just wonder if like the only thing that gives me pause about the idea is what if there's like just like not enough of him left to be brought back.
Yeah,
he's like completely vaporized.
Yeah, it depends on how ghosts exactly operate. If they actually need a physical remnant of the Guardian or intended Guardian in order to actually bring them back, it's pretty up in the air at this point, in my opinion, on whether or not ghosts need actual physical remains. I mean, you get brought back in the middle of the Cosmodrome in your first encounter in Destiny 1 or Destiny 2. And presumably there's some sort of skeleton there to build upon.
There is a D1. Yeah. Like, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that begs the question, and the moments that we've seen any Guardians being rezzed, like Aldrin coming back, there's obviously a body under there. And like Exos, there's clearly remnants of the Exo being to bring back, that sort of stuff. There's always some evidence of the remains of the individual that was previously deceased before the ghost brings them back.
Well, that's also on an initial res too, though.
That is true. And
I'm sorry, go on.
No, I was gonna dive into, yeah, there's also the concept of post initial res deaths, where you think of things like fusion rifles. They're supposed to completely disintegrate Guardian, as far as I'm aware. So is there enough residual remains of the Guardian there just to basically recreate them, or is it that despite that disintegration, the ghost can still pull them back? And
I was gonna say, I think that might be confirmed actually from Dwindler's Ridge of all places, Because if, like, there's no body left from getting plugged with two shots of the golden gun, even if the first one didn't kill you. I think Shin may have had that, he was the test subject for the golden gun nerf, so he had to shoot him twice.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's actually a six shot. Yeah, he's actually a six shot guardian, but he had he was the first one that they tested out the nerf on. He was the alpha nerf.
and that's completely fair. You think of things like, in the No Res for the Weary lore card, it specifically references in there that if a guardian falls into the sea of methane on Titan, the ghost can bring them back. What's different about that, where they don't have actual access to the body? It's so far away at that point that they can res there. If they fall into the vacuum of space, they can res them back in the ship. That sort of stuff. It seems to me like remains don't seem to be a necessary component of resing a guardian.
I will say, outside of the initial res, I think we're in agreement,
right?
There.
Sure.
And oh hey, guests, we did a more organic start, so like please welcome our special guest, Elmnist.
You didn't even know we're starting, did you?
Yeah. Right, I'm sitting here and I'm like, are we actually recording?
Yeah. Taylor is the king of just, we're going to go now.
Yeah, but, since I realized our opening doesn't necessarily have your intro. Welcome to the show. We'll figure out where people can find you later. But
yeah, we'll talk that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm gonna table that for now. Let the mystery gather anyone who is unawares of you prior to this episode. But yeah, I wanted to throw that out there beforehand. But yeah, I think we're all in agreement that the first res has to be, you need something.
Need something. Some sort of template.
That's demonstrably, agreed. Like, you need thumb.
Yep.
And I think it also follows with, actually, like, in-game mechanics. When you jump off the tower, like, you're not picked up at the bottom of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
So I just imagine, like, a sea of bodies down there.
Right? There just has to be a constant cleanup crew.
Now, see, like, if you talk to Blue, it's all Titans down at the bottom. The wall was built on the back of Titans.
I love it.
It actually reminds me of, like, when people take it, like, very literally. I don't know how many of you guys or listeners are fans of Attack on Titan, but that's literally a mechanic in that show, is the one dude who is a giant can make himself into wall. And like plug up holes in the wall that they need to fight the man-eating giants.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, like, and so as soon as I said that, I was like, are they making an anime reference?
Wow.
Are they, or is it just like what comes with being a Titan and being able to wield a hammer is a modicum of knowledge in stonemasonry? And they just really get brick and mortar, like you wouldn't believe. It just comes naturally.
Yeah. Going back to the actual topic. What I'm reminded of is something in No Res for the Weary,
mm-hmm.
where the ghost got a certain theory from the future war cult.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring him back, they told me, you must have a template, an image to provide you with the information you need. Where do you find that template? Simply in a neighboring timeline, a place where he is still alive and intact. And wherever there is great danger, wherever the probability of death is too high, then those timelines become scarce and hard to reach. And so you find the zones where guardians cannot easily be remade.
I like that because it's poetic. I will say that.
Well, so like going back to the whole jumping off the tower bit,
mm-hmm.
it's because there's literally a timeline where we didn't jump.
Not me.
Which is why we're insta-rezzed in like 5 seconds.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's very easy to find a timeline where our Guardian still exists and would
exactly
be able to be pulled from. And I will say that we should mention that as it is the ghost theory in conjunction with, I'm not 100% sure it's Future War Cult. I will mention that as well. It could be the Aeon Cult because I don't want to really dive into that too much. I just want to give a caveat there. But
was it FWC? I thought it was FWC would make the most sense. But then again, like. I'm not going to get into it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
right. Like, that's all, another it says, all it says is, but certain members of a cult I shall not directly name have mm-hmm. their own specific interpretation of the process.
Yeah.
But it's talking about neighboring timelines and shit.
Yeah, like, it makes the most sense as FWC just right off the bat.
Right.
I just wanted to mention a caveat because I think the Aeon cult, I think it does have stuff to do with Vex as well, but... I'd have to refresh my memory on that, to be honest. So, yeah.
Well, and considering those exotics were released in Curse of Osiris, like mm-hmm. it would make sense that they're Vex related.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's where like my bugaboo comes from, because demonstrably the Vex don't travel in between timelines. If they could, it makes no sense that they'd still be in ours, unless like if you could go to a different timeline, you could just keep going to them until there's one where you win. There's no reason to stick around and simulate your enemy. So like it just
well no that's and... why they're still here is because they can't find a timeline that they win against us.
Well, I don't think they can or if they can go to like different timelines, I don't think they're able to for whatever reason. Just because, like, also not to mention that the technology the Future War Cult has copied is the simulation machine. It's not the time travel machine. And so they,
right.
it makes perfect sense from their point of view, I think, based on how everything developed, where you have these different instances of yourself that have personhood, which is really interesting, especially if they're being very literal in that interpretation as it applies to ghosts, because then they're saying it's just a template of you in a simulation that it's able to take data from. Because that might as well be real. It just happens to exist in a simulation, in a probability kiln. So like that's pretty fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just a bugaboo I have about Destiny time travel. Because the every now and again you run into like, especially in the spinfoil leg end of things, you run into people who have a theory about like, you know, Destiny's like multiple timelines. And you're like, actually, no, it's not. Because otherwise it doesn't work. Like, otherwise the rules that they've laid out and the demonstrable limitations
yeah.
that there seems to be in the technology in game and lore. Like, if there's multiple timelines, then there's no point in half the shit that goes on. Like, unless they're limited in some way, but that's just me.
Well, and like as far as time travel theories go, they look at all theories and they're like, "Well, we're not using any of them. Let's go."
I'm not completely sold that it isn't possible that there's multiple timelines in the Destiny universe. I will agree that the way that the writers use timelines, typically, they kind of mix everything together because they refer to timelines in both the simulation sense and then potentiality of additional timelines parallel to our own in actual reality. And so it gets kind of muddled in there and confused. That's one thing that I would wish that they'd clear up a little bit, but
I think that's a narrative choice. I think that makes like the 128 simulations of the Ishtar Collective, or 228. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It gives them personhood, and I think they mm-hmm. made that very clear when they decided to rescue them from the Vex simulation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very like strong narrative choice. I will give a caveat. I don't think that necessarily means there aren't multiple timelines in the Destiny universe. I just think we 100% do not experience them in game, and we do not read about them anymore.
Like, and that's fair. Yeah, I would agree with that.
No, I completely agree with that. It would be cool to see if they could actually build that into like a story mission or something, but I just do not see it happening. It would be way too complex.
Yeah, you're getting into DC Universe.
I'm imagining like a Mass Effect scenario where every single decision has a consequence. You end up in these splintered timelines where it's like, this is my favorite store on the tower. I hate this store. And you end up in two
different timelines. Now I'm imagining the inevitability of someone bringing back Cade 6 and then Cade 6 going back and changing what he ate for lunch that day with catastrophic consequences. He's like, you know, I really should have had the soup. I'm going to go change this real quick. And then like,
no, the soup wasn't that great. Let's go back to ramen.
That's what I'm saying, like, which is a soup itself. but because Cade ate a sandwich, like he allowed the Red War to be lost by the last city.
Because an exo meddled with time to make a sandwich, the Red War was lost.
Yeah,
we need a voiceover guy for this ASAP.
Right.
We need the guy who did Space Ghost. He does a very good.
Oh my god.
Guy voice. Like I love it.
Oh, I hadn't thought of Space Ghost in years.
Yeah. Yeah, he was coast to coast.
Fuck.
Well, I feel bad because the guy who did like all the classic movies from like I think like the late 70s through like the 90s, LaFontaine, he like passed away like a long time ago. So that's why you may have noticed they don't really have like the voiceover thing anymore, because I don't think there's just like no one who does it as good as he does. Huh. Or if like you do think about it, you're like, this seems like a lamer version of Die Hard. But yeah, he was the guy who like perfected In a World. Like just total.
Although the only voice that I could actually see taking up that mantle would be the Honest Trailers guy.
That'd be pretty good.
Honest Trailers guy? That'd be cool. I feel like that I would want him to do his own thing. And I only say this just because the voice for Space Ghost, whose name is escaping me. But he did an episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force as himself where he talks about, this was before LaFontaine passed away, but he's like, I can do the same goddamn voice for half the price and he still gets all the work.
Oh, man.
So I really wanted him to
George Lowe.
Yeah, I really wanted George Lowe to move into that. Just be like, now I'm the voice.
Yeah. A trailer introducing him as the voice of Hollywood.
That's right.
In a world where I take up the voice mantle.
What is it? And his stand-up, I forget the dude's name, but the guy who did the voice for the Taco Bell dog also does a really good impersonation of the LaFontaine voice. All right. So
man,
Destiny,
I'm having
90s Destiny's
flashbacks
game.
Now.
Yeah. I feel like I just made everyone want like a Surge and some Dunkaroos.
Oh jeez.
Oh, Dunkaroos, man.
There's recipes online where you can make your own Dunkaroo dip, and like Teddy Grahams are a nice substitute.
I would imagine so. And you can get the flavored ones too, so it'd be even awesome. More awesome.
Ooh, yeah. Well, and it always, like, because they're, like, always in, like, the one of, like, two positions, it looks like they're diving. Mm-hmm. Or, like mm-hmm. jumping in feet first, like, having a great time right before you eat them. In the dipping pool that you've created from Funfetti.
And see, I'm the kind of guy who's like, hey, they're just soaking their feet. Om nom nom, they have no feet.
Shouldn't have soaked
you now need a wheelchair.
Now I'm just imagining, like, there being a market for, like, graham cracker wheelchairs just so you can complete your, like, edible fantasy.
Which,
I wouldn't mind random objects being put in cookie form. I think that would be... That would be acceptable.
Oh, hey, what did you get? I have a baseball. What about you? I have a brain tumor.
Okay, well, I like where your head's at. Not 100%. I don't know if that's an object, but I'm with you, and especially if it's random, like you don't know what you're going to get in each pouch.
Right.
Like, I got chocolate bicycles. Like, you know what flavor, but you don't know what shape it's going to be in. Like, oh yeah, like I've got, oh man, I got a bunch of butterscotch pacemakers. These are delicious.
Oh, hey, I got a strawberry finger. Wait.
Oh no.
Now all I'm thinking of is Wendy's chili and that stupid incident where somebody found a finger in it.
No. All right, all right. Shift gears back to wholesome. It's the little foam fingers that say number one.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's now we're back on track. Now we've got the
answer. these are just going to be like the new, like the 2.0 version of Birdie Bot's every flavor bean.
Dude,
there's a different shape in every box.
Random shake crackers? No, they come in 100 calorie pouches, so you have surprise in each bag. Each bag is the same one, though. Yeah, there'll be every shape crackers. Asterisk, no dildos.
Glad we clarified that.
I know, but then you go into the sex shop, and you'll have the same thing. Oops, oh, all dildos. Dildos. Oops, all dildos.
All the dildos.
Yeah, I got some sour cream and onion dildos. Got mixed in with my regular bag. Yeah, sure it did, Tim. Sure it did. Not that there's anything wrong about it, but be honest about who you are.
Oh, hey, I just found a cheddar cheese strap-on. All right.
Yeah, just found it, okay? They only come from one store.
Oh man. How did we even get here?
Through the beauty of content. This is good. And listeners, thank you for going on that journey with us. I'm gonna try and get us back on track here. I just want to say I really think this has legs. I think that does kind of bring up a question of like what all you need, but I think at least demonstrably I at least agree with what I think you and the Bagels were putting down about these are specific instances, like specific rules, like depending on when something is rezzed. So, like, first time, you need a bot. Anyone who is cremated or planning on getting cremated, you cannot be a guardian. You are precluded. You could even have a robot bot, but you need a bot. There's no one getting rezzed out of an urn. I probably, like, lost some fans for saying that shit. Like, spread my ashes in, like, a fuck you.
Some poor ghost is like, I know my guardian is here somewhere. He's spread across 14 miles of sea,
That's what I'm saying, like...
14 miles of beach, but, like, I know he's here.
That's what I'm saying, like, there is no story of anyone getting picked up, like, after their ashes were scattered.
To be fair, we don't have a lot of guardians' pasts, though, and how they were rezzed.
Right.
So...
But all the ones we do have a body involved.
This is correct. I will grant that. Again, caveats. Because they're fun.
Even one where I wasn't sure if the dude was dead, like the one that everyone says was Master Chief. in the drop pod. I was like, oh, so yeah. Did the pod break open and he died? Like, is the pod still working? He has to go back to sleep.
This fight's not over. This fight's never over.
So the way I took that one, like, he's been in that pod for X number of years, and there is no electricity going back to that pod. It's locked. He died there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'd be pretty confident saying that, too.
I was just curious, because as far as I recall, Master Chief had a regen capability. I'm just being an asshole because he would regen if he ran away in the game.
Well, yeah.
So,
but he still also like he would still also need to eat or get nutrients somehow, and the suit wouldn't be able to keep that up for years upon years.
I know. I'm just being a jerk. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guy.
Yeah.
I like that. One thing I wonder is, will the ghost even need to be, like, ghost searching through the wreckage? Or, like, will it just be like, oh, I wonder if I can, like, bazap? Oh, hey, buddy, like, hold on. It's been a while. I know you thought you were just about to push a thing, but... Okay, so, long story short, you got frozen time. It's been 4 years. I've become a courier, like, NVD. Part of the ghost network.
See, now, here's my question. The trap that went off, did it actually go with the Almighty, or was it just hanging there in space? Because if the Almighty moved and the trap did not... That guardian is still just sitting there.
That's a fair point. And we also have to assume that the trap got destroyed if it did impact with the Earth. Which probably did, if it did. But again,
yeah,
assumptions.
I would say the thing was it was contained within the apparatus, right? Like it was something that was being generated by the Almighty. So if the Almighty moves, like it moves with it.
That seems the most likely to me. That it was actually attached to the Almighty in some fashion, or at least sitting on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or being consumed by it or something. I mean...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it could have very easily been a Vex trap from Mercury that got consumed by the Almighty,
right.
And not chewed up. That could have been the thing very much so right there.
Like, in the actual entry, it says, you know, I should have seen the trap. Was it Cabal? Was it some Vex infection from Mercury? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, it could have been something as part of the actual Almighty, or it could have been something that was being consumed by the Almighty, and we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would wonder. I feel like for intents and purposes, I feel like it created...
And see, this was just me playing devil's advocate.
Well,
I hope that he actually went with the Almighty and died so his ghost can res him, but... Because I would love to see conclusion to that.
Well, I just don't see it being fixed in space, because if it was fixed in space, like, it would have been ripped from the ship already. Because it's, like, the solar system is moving, right? So it being stuck in orbit within the solar system for 4 years, if it was going to get ripped away, it would have happened. It wouldn't have suddenly changed just because it's being propelled. Almighty is suddenly propelling itself. Like, as I would see it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I tend to believe that it was also probably inside the Almighty. Based on the speculation of the ghost, he asks if it was a Vex infection or It could have been Cabal. But he asks that question, which makes me think that it was probably interior to the Almighty that initiated the trapping of the Guardian. So in order for that to be the case, it almost certainly had to be within the Almighty from in a point where there was remnants of Mercury from being sucked up, basically. Yeah. That would be my interpretation.
Yeah, das ist true.
I agree with that.
I do wonder, though. So, if it is a Vex trap, to your point, could it have crashed and not become disabled?
It's entirely possible.
He's just, like, still going for it.
He's still going for it.
So hard, though.
In the mountain range behind the city.
Yeah.
Oh man, that sucks. To be so close to home yet so far.
That's what I'm saying. He'd be like one of those mosquitoes trapped in amber.
All right.
Just like perfectly preserved.
Study him for 50,000 years or what? 5,000 years.
I'm gonna say they're gonna make Jurassic Park after him in the future.
That's an apt comparison because the actual entry talks about how he's caught in the amber of slow time.
Mm-hmm. There's an analogy in there.
Just like I knew what I was doing.
Oh. It's almost like you know what you're doing. Wow.
Yeah. I'm surprised too. So that's a good one. So I do think that's a thing. As far as So, here's a thought. How do we know the ghost is still alive?
That's a question as well. Yeah, we have been assuming that the ghost is alive. He could have easily died in the interim. Either, for a multitude of reasons.
What if that's the ghost that's trapped in a cage with the spider?
That'd be terrible.
Ooh.
He can rest his guardian now. He detects it.
Oh, what if that's how he escapes? Because he doesn't have to be next to his guardian. He can just, like res him, like, right there. And then the spider's like, oh, shit.
This is an issue. Ooh.
And then he's just running out of there with, like, the cage. Like a little lantern.
That's also a good question. How close does your guardian, like, their former, their death point have to be to the ghost in order for the ghost to actually res them?
At least on the same planet.
I would agree with that.
Same celestial body. I feel like that's the only thing we can say for sure.
Because, like, every time we've seen a guardian being res by a ghost, it's always within, like, 10 or 15 meters.
Mm-hmm.
Always relatively close. But I don't know if there actually are limitations to that.
Well, like when you jump off the tower, that's pretty far. Or like when you're on planets where there's like a hole or like an abyss you can fall into. Let's just say like that's bottomless, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a fair argument.
Again, so, it brings up the point that how is the ghost rezzing, if the guardian's still falling, how does the ghost rez them within like 5 or 10 seconds? Because technically they probably haven't died unless the ghost can just like insta-kill their guardian in order to immediately rez them.
Well, see, here's the other
thing. Oh my god.
When the ghost knows you're dead, does it just pull your equipment off of you? Because otherwise, why don't we just make infinite guns?
Printing press.
Why can't someone with Gjallarhorn just keep jumping off the tower?
I'm imagining a Titan just, here's a Gjallarhorn, here's a Gjallarhorn.
And like, you know,
you get a Gjallarhorn, you get a Gjallarhorn.
That's what I'm saying, like, he like makes sure he like cradles it and lands on his back so that there's no damage to the Gjallarhorn. Like, smack! Like, here you go. Smack! Alright. Smack!
I'm still stuck on the comment about our ghost being the reason that we have kill floors and kill ceilings. If you get too high, it just auto-kills you. What if that's your ghost?
That's an explanation for an in-game mechanic. Interesting.
Oh my god. If Bagels, you hurt my brain there.
I mean, I feel like in most cases, well, I'll put it to you this way. I feel like there's certainly instances where you have no kill ceiling in game.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you start a strike and then just go into a lost sector and farm stuff for strike bounties.
Yeah.
Or just go into a planet and run in and out of lost sectors. Or, like, in and out of different zones, like, do patrols in each of the zones. You don't seem to have any natural, limitations in your kill record. In fact, in a lot of ways, it seems to be encouraged, especially with how the weapons seem to be masterworked on the exotic side. Which is... At this point, like, they just make it like, you know, no, it's like, you're not changing this exotic great gun. You're just getting better with it. And so now it's, like, perfect because you've been using it for so much.
Sure. That's a good explanation for that.
Yeah. So that's also something I would be curious to think about. Like, we have things that are applied as quests, but then you look at, like, the actual, or they're applied as, like, a mechanic sort of thing, and then you look at the actual, like, text of it, and it sounds like a personal triumph.
Mm-hmm.
It is you who is being masterworked.
it was us all along.
Yeah. Perhaps the real masterwork are the friends we made along the way.
It was the friend game all along.
It's the same, man. Bungie, why don't you have matchmaking?
It was not you who was masterworking the weapon. Your friends were masterworking you.
Oh, no.
Like, what? No.
like the chubby caterpillar, you have enveloped yourself in the cocoon of training. Now fly, glorious butterfly.
Oh my god.
You have extra skills.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's... Bungie, if anyone from you is ever listening to this, like, please, please know that that's my headcanon for how you guys design quests. You guys are just... total Henry Killingers.
and especially with how the Lumina quest went. Like, you had to go as a team for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Kissinger, sorry. Killingers, the fucking Adventure Bros version of Henry Kissinger.
Oh yeah, I thought you were just making a.
Well, I was. I guess I was making a parody of something he had said, but like real life.
I guess.
Sorry, but I didn't want someone who like knew history out there to be, like, "What the fuck, Taylor? What the fuck?" His first name isn't even Henry in Venture Bros. It's fucking Doctor.
Get your facts straight.
Oh.
We have enraged the internet. Goal accomplished.
I just love when the purpose of a show evolves. We started out just wanted to talk about lore.
Right.
And now it's how can we enrage invisible people we made up. This is good. Okay. So, I think we all agree it's pretty possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do something a little inverse of what we normally do in this case. And Bagels, tell me what you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all leaning one way, I'm gonna say turn it up to 11 to make it go the other way. What are some examples of what might prevent the ghost from raising the guardian? That you can think about.
Sure. Right off the top of my head, if the neighboring timeline theory is correct for the ghost, and what timeline would exist where the guardian actually wasn't ever in the time bubble that he was in, and therefore, how could the ghost pull a template from a guardian that's already in a time bubble in an alternate timeline? So in that example, basically the ghost would be screwed still, because there would be no template to pull off.
There's two things I want to add now that you bring up the timeline theory again, mm-hmm. and this mm-hmm. isn't necessarily counterpoint to anything you just said. One, that's also a theory of how the Traveler terraformed
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
different planets, specifically Venus. If you look at some of the cards in D1, one of the theories is that it's sort of ported in a version of Venus that was habitable.
Mm-hmm.
This was among other theories. It wasn't the only thing presented in that card. I do want to add that. One problem I had with that is swapping out for a Venus that can sustain life doesn't swap out the fact that Venus in, like, our Venus can't sustain life because of how close it is to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
it's not in the green zone.
Yeah. It's not the Goldilocks
yeah.
zone, right?
You go to Goldilocks zone. Yeah, sorry.
Well, no, it's also called the green zone. You're not an
asshole. Oh, okay.
Like, it's where organisms can develop. Yeah, you're not wrong. The M-class planets, as mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as Star Trek
call them. Coined it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they coined it or not, but yeah. Regardless,
they made it famous.
Yeah,
as famously used in Star Trek. So there's that to think of. I also want to sort of bring up that if it's using another timeline of you as a template, two questions. One, is that who the ghost is talking to before it resurrects you? Which, in which case, mm-hmm. is that fair that it's talking to not you?
To make a contract with you?
Yeah.
Essentially?
Yeah. So, like, I want to like, submit that out there. And then, two, if it is pulling from another timeline, how do any lingering memories you have actually belong to you, or are they from the template? Like, are Thanatonauts dreaming of a different version of them each time they kill themselves?
That's a fair question. Yeah. Or are we basically just drilling out the memories of the previous, the template? And replacing them with our timeline's version. That's a scary thought too.
Well, if it yeah. can't use you as a template, but it can do temporal, like it makes me wonder, like, why does it need to go to another timeline?
Mm-hmm,
if
mm-hmm.
it can go to other timelines, why can't it just, like, pull you from before you died?
Sure. And yeah, I don't necessarily believe in the theory. It's just right off the top of my head what seemed likely as a preventative method for the ghost to res the guardian. So,
I can dig it.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
I can't pretend to assert the foundries of the timeline theory, because I'm not personally a fan of it.
Well, I wanted to put it out there since
I had meant to
mention it earlier, and I got sidetracked because
I gotcha.
Something
that,
I am
that
want
happens.
To do.
Never.
I am want to do. Okay, so similar question to you, Thurlm. Elemist. If you had to turn it to 11 and come up with a way that the resurrection of this guardian would be prevented in some way, what are some possible things that you could think of that, like, might prevent their ghost from resing them?
Just finding out that the time bubble actually still exists. Like, even if it's just in our backyard where the Almighty crashed, if the time bubble exists and the trap is still intact, no matter what we do, that guardian is just stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a possibility. I would. Yeah. We don't know what powers that time bubble. We don't know if it's something interior to the bubble itself. If that's the case, then
right.
Imagine debris basically trying to enter that field, and it would basically be subject to the same laws that the Guardian inside that are. That being that it would be slowed down instantly and just be stuck in there. So it would be colliding with the what's inside the bubble within 50,000 years, just like the Guardian. So
right, like that was exactly where my thought was. Yeah. Like, even if we find the time bubble and we shoot at the Guardian, that bullet isn't getting there for 50,000 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What if what if you use time bullets? No. What if you dump it for next season? No. What if if it does exist as an egg? What if you dumped it in the Vex network and just simulated the time it would take for it to get there so he could die?
But that would assume that we could actually move the time bubble.
I mean, in this case, the time bubble was moved. So why not?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or like maybe you take it to the sundial before the Doritos take it. The Black Ghost Chili Doritos.
But can you force something that exists in our timeline to be simulated faster than actual time?
Yeah, because time inside the network does affect the user. This is shown in Praedeath's Ghost in D1 and by Saint 14. He has to fight for a couple hundred years before we're able to get him out.
Especially with the fact that he went the long way around.
Mm-hmm. But it was the fact he was like, I'll be able to fight for that long because I know you're going to be there.
Well, I would argue in the case of Saint 14, we went back in time there to get to him. That's why
we used the sundial. I'm talking about the Vex network. The sundial is not the Vex network.
Correct.
The sundial is like H.G. Wells' time machine, where you can travel through time from in a fixed position.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Whereas, and that does appear to have some forward and backward capability. There is also the worry, though, in the case of Mercury. I think in all of those cases, you're talking with Saint inside the Vex network. Because especially the last time, he's talking about how, like, he doesn't need to exit the network with you right then. So I'm curious about that part of it. But either way, time inside the Vex network from that storyline is demonstrated to, like, be shown as, like, something that does affect the people who are in the Vex network.
Yeah.
So, like, we could fire a bullet at that dude and just leave him in the Vex network for 50,000 years and come back in a week in our time.
And his ghost just has, like, a little microwave ding whenever it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Guardian's done.
Well, I want it to be like a ding combined with like the little flag on a mailbox, like coming up. Like it just comes up from the side of her shell. You didn't know it was there the whole time.
Like access fist from inside the Vex network. Yeah. Don't.
Or maybe like a you've got mail. All right, I can res him again. This is pretty sweet.
You've got Guardian.
Yeah. That would be but that's what I'm wondering. It's if they're trapped. Like there's so many questions that are brought up with it, and like that's just like if you could get in there. Like I don't know if you could get in there safely.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I mean. If you planned it right, I guess nothing can happen to the dude, right? For 50,000 years.
Yeah, some sort of, like, magnetic cage that you could get it into. And that way you wouldn't actually have to contact the bubble. And, I don't know if like, entering the bubble is possible or if it's, like, a solid sphere at this point. That's another question. If you could, like, basically...
If you can shoot into it, I would imagine you could, like...
Can you shoot into it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can shoot. Yeah, that's right. That's established in the lore card. Yep.
But I'm wondering if you're still exerting force from the outside, does it prevent how deep you can go in? So what if you just had, like, a real long barrel gun? Like the Joker in 1989 Batman? And you just, like, stick it all the way in to where it's, like, right up against his face? Or maybe, like, it's an even shorter gun so the bullet doesn't have to travel as far, but you have, like, a string that's outside of it still? And you pushed it into the stick, and you yank on the spring to start the firing mechanism. Or is the firing mechanism being on the outside preferable, because then it enters at a high speed? There's so many questions.
At that point, why don't we just use a rail gun?
Right?
You want to bring magnets into this? Okay. Okay. We're going to dip the magnets inside the sphere. Well, ooh, what if you tried to electrocute him to death? And you stuck two diodes all the way in, assuming that, like, as long as you have part of it on the outside, you can, like, force it down at like, the same rate you would be from the outside. And if you can't, you're just FUBAR. You gotta, like, shoot from the outside and hope for the best. But... yeah, if you could get it all the way in there, like, how would it take 50,000 years to complete the circuit? And then however much longer to actually kill him?
It definitely shouldn't take that long, because electricity travels a lot faster than the Guardian would be. The ghost is projecting the Guardian's movements to take 50,000 years in order to reach the deactivation.
Oh, so we might be able to kill him in a faster amount of time.
That would be my interpretation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, you know,
and at that point, like, we've got a ton of Guardians in the tower. Why don't we just throw a bunch of people at them, complete the circuit, and electrify everybody?
Well, because it's not, because you would have the two electrodes, right? What I'm talking about is the literal time it would take the circuit to complete. Because it's got to go, like, in the one end, and then it's, like, in the time amber.
What's interesting there the time amber is season. The electricity would try to find the path of least resistance. What would be the path of least resistance in that case?
Wire that it's been sent in through.
Yeah, I don't know that electricity, you could force it to find the other node on the opposite end easily.
Well, so it would have to go... I see what you're saying, and you're talking about, like, once it reached the Guardian?
Well, no, more so, like... would the time dilation effect, would that act as, like, an extreme resistor for the electricity?
Oh,
like,
would it just... let's assume the wires are insulated. Only the tips are exposed.
Just the tip?
Just the tip.
This is kind of a fascinating thought process.
Right.
I really don't know how time dilation would act in the face of electricity flowing. There's got to be some sort of study on something like that.
I don't know how many real scientists are sitting here thinking, and Taylor B's like, okay, so we got theoretical time amber, right? We don't know all the rules about it, but this guy's got an idea. Assuming that if you're moving it from the outside of the bubble, because, like, this is also assuming I don't have to wait however long it would take for the wire being pushed once it enters the bubble to make it to the guy. I'm assuming that if I stay on the outside, I can just push it at the same rate.
I'm not convinced about that. because I'm pretty sure they would have tried that. But yeah, I don't know for sure.
I don't know if they thought about the electricity angle. What if they shot a high voltage stun gun taser, like the two diode boys, and like I hope no fans are electricians and they're like, you son of a bitch. Like, there's no way. First of all, everyone knows time amber is conductive, so your whole thing is fucked. The first thing I learned becoming an electrician. But yeah, no, I just wonder, like, the different ways you could try to kill him. You could try. Because, okay, so if force is transferable and you are able to get the egg, how long would it take deadly concussive force to transfer if you just drop the egg from a really high place?
Well, I mean, essentially, we're asking whether or not the almighty collision at that point would have killed the bubble or him.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on that too. Like, there's a lot of, there's force, there's possible collision with war satellite. Multiple.
Rasputin, get your ass over here.
That's what I'm saying. What if we're not Rasputin's real bet? It's whichever Titan was frozen in the Red War, and that's why he shut down, because he's like, all right, I need to go make sure this guy, like, wakes up now. He's the Titan. No, like, you've just been a pawn to get, like,
put me in an extra body so I can go check on my buddy.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
ooh.
Real
story.
Too
soon. Too soon.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh my.
Dang it, Vigels.
that makes sense though, because like it had a ton of Warsats just hitting it. The actual collision in the mountainside.
From space. From deep in space.
Right.
Or like farther away than
so, like,
I've ever been.
I don't know how to comment on that.
I mean, same. Like, I don't know.
But yeah, all the external forces from the explosives, the actual collision with Earth, all of that combined, you would assume it would either deactivate the trap or kill the Guardian, despite the time dilation effect.
Right.
That would be my assumption. But I don't know for sure. I'll say that much. Time dilation experts, please chime in here.
now my thing is, Beyond Light is coming in November.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need Ghost Stories Part 2.
Electric
because
Google.
We need to know what happens.
To
our buddy.
Uh-huh, I really hope it involves, because I made that stupid break into Electric Boogaloo joke, I really hope it involves some sort of, like, ghost dance contest to settle scores.
The shells are actually going to have hands on them so that they can finger snap?
No. They're exactly the same, but they do, like, break dance moves. Or, like, there's one that looks like a Rubik's Cube and he just solves himself to the beat. Yeah. Yeah, that's my idea. I will say, all right, so for me, if it were going to be preventable, it'd have to be something like unexpected and tragic, because either for whatever reason they didn't get taken with the Almighty, like, what if they got, like, knocked astray, or, uh, something happened to where maybe they didn't get all the force of everything that was going on, or maybe part of the fallout from the Almighty's landing is the ghost being hit. I think for me that would be the most preventable situation, just because then either you don't have the ghost.
Yeah.
It would have to be something that like the very Twilight Zone-y. Like, oh, we can finally pick this guy up, but he fell on his ghost. They were in the mountains doing the city's work. What are the odds?
Entered like the spooky door.
That's what I mean. Like, they're gonna call him.
You've
spooky.
Entered a spin foil zone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's spoopy foil. Like, oh no. Yeah, I feel like that's definitely like, it's not very macabre. It's just very basic. Oh no, I finally was about to have happiness, but I'm dead. Like,
the ghost got so excited he just parked himself directly under the Almighty.
Yeah, it's like how I view
my guardian is here. Oh.
Yeah, it's kinda how I view like Ariana's fire team. What do you mean I'm dying because I chased after revenge?
Like,
who could have predicted going too far into an enemy base on a suicide mission could result in my death? What a world, what a world.
Yeah, man.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at there. Like, there could be some sort of like easy to tie up twist at the end. Air quotes twist. That I could see preventing it, but otherwise I feel like unless they change their mind at the last minute, they put that Guardian story in there in the first place for a reason, and then they specifically made a narrative choice to make a whole season about destroying the Almighty. And
right.
So far, there isn't a whole lot that they actually put in the game that I would say Bungie didn't put in for a reason.
Typically. Yeah.
Right.
Although, the caveat is these ghost stories, most of them, not actually, because Aldrin and Port, yeah, never mind. I'm going to pull that back.
I was going to say...
Aldrin and Pulled Pork. There's Confessions of Hope, which is Shin Malfur.
Yeah.
Well, there's little nameless guardians they have in flavor text and lore that they reference again later, like the hunter who went to go fight an Ahamkara when she thought the warlock was challenging her to do, daring her to do it. And then and then in the first entry, he's like, "Oh shit, I just killed her." And then later, when you see her again in another item, he's like, "Yeah, he thought I couldn't fucking do that shit." Warlock.
Yeah.
You bitch ass.
Oh my.
You know, paraphrasing. That's not what Bungie wrote.
Oh, of course, paraphrasing.
Just in case our listeners are like, really? Like, so this hunter called this warlock a bitch ass? Like, no.
Might have. You never know.
Not that I'm aware of in the official text. I can hear your clicky clacks. Are you searching it right now just in case there's any official lore of a hunter calling a warlock a bitch ass?
It's heavily insinuated.
Okay, so Pahanan right here doesn't outright say it, but I'm starting to think the illusion to
it's got to read between the lines here. Yeah. See, it's in the negative space between the lines, man.
You need that new emote now, the bagels. You need that new emote where you're connecting all the dots. I feel like we actually both need that.
I'm pretty sure we do.
As, oh my god, yes.
Spin foilists.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's totally on brand. Okay, Bungie, you win this round. You've got my dollars.
My where it, it just... And it would be an exotic emote. Like, it would actually have that
no, dude, that's
neon
this week. It's a chalkboard with a bunch of shit on it. They just released it on Tuesday.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't seen it yet.
Looks like I'm giving Bungie some silver.
Yeah, yeah. You can check the preview in the store page. It's trying
looks
to teach
like
you're like
I'm
trying to
Bungie
teach people, but it's like a chalkboard, but there's like a bunch of like clearly like paper that's been like pasted onto it or like taped onto it.
Because that's
like referencing
that's totally
all the different
me.
Things. It's totally
just aggressively.
Yeah.
Do you just aggressively point out the thing in the middle?
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Because that is totally me. I'm. Yeah, I'm giving
Sabathun.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, the Levante has us bake cookies. Cookies are an allegory for...
Oh my god.
For the secrets, because otherwise we don't actually know the recipes. Recipes are the secrets of bakers who we all know create confections and false conventions are lies. They're all Sabathun. Boom. Right there. That's right.
Oh, man.
That's right. Yeah, so
it's always the old Eva.
I have to buy it. I have to buy that one. Elemist, where can presumably and most likely your fans, but any new fans you may have made, where can they find ye, you guardian of lore?
That's right. I'm part of the Guardians of Lore podcast. We have a Twitter account at Guardians_lore. You can easily find me through that, or you can actually find our podcast. We have a Discord. You can send us an email, guardians_lore@outlook.com. Believe that's it. Oh, we have an Instagram, but we rarely ever post on it.
I like the Insta. Also, Guardians of Lore are a proud, I'm going to call you a sister show of ours in
Aww.
The Greater Lore Network. And they and a lot of our other content creators do a bangarang job. So if you're ever listening to either ours or Elemist's show and you're like, guys, like, that was great, but I'm a diehard fan and I've listened to all of your jams, where can I jam out to some other jams? Do I have a place for you to go? It's the Lore Network. There, you can check out the weekly roundup on YouTube. You can check out a multiplicity of articles about Destiny and non-Destiny lore, and it links to a bunch of brother and sister podcasts and content creators that I think you'll really dig. Not least amongst them, my man Elemist and the Guardians of Lore. So I just wanted to add that on to the where to different ways to find you part of it while I thought about it. You got any shout-outs, my good sir?
Shout-out to you guys.
Thank you.
This was fun.
Yay.
Indeed.
And shout-out to my co-hosts, Orchid, Hyven, and Mrs. Hyven.
We have yet.
It's been a really off week. This past week, so like everybody's kind of on edge, just different things happening in personal life, so I wanted to shout them out. Not that. Yeah.
Respect. Yeah.
Super. You know, yeah. We have only met you and Orchid so far because the week we were on the I was on the Hostful episode. The Hythens were out of mm-hmm. town. I think they were like moving or having a child, perhaps both.
I don't moving.
Remember exactly.
they have fur babies.
I was really hoping you were going to say something like they were moving a child. So just combine the two. Like they were moving. I'm glad my gut was more right than the possible maybe I was wrong. we haven't actually met them yet. We have to we might have to sneaky invite them. On the show, the Bengals be like, well, what if you just came on our show? We've got a show, I'm just saying.
Definitely.
I love to. I'm a dork. Guys, I forgot final scores. So, Elam, we have a score system where the numbers mean absolutely nothing. It can be plus or minus in whatever degree you want. Like, for example, you could give it a 10 plausible or a negative 8 implausible because of how plausible you think it is, or you could be like, this is 10 billion not gonna happen. There is no scale.
We'll
all
make it
entries
up
are valid. What is your final score on tonight's theory?
12 time bubbles.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Time bubs. Love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Mr. Bags.
I'm gonna give it a 68. Not feeling the incremental increase in the numbers there, but I think it's pretty plausible. Just to have a few caveats that we mentioned earlier that could throw a monkey wrench in the problem, but yeah, I think it's pretty plausible that Mr. Guardian could be rezzed and no longer be weary.
I like it. I like it. You got any
shout-outs?
Well,
he's had enough time to rest.
He has had 4 years. What if that whole time, what if, like, you thought you were just, like, reaching for, like, a drink or something, and apparently 4 years had passed, and then you explode? You get picked up like somewhere else or like slightly other, and be just like, okay, like. So I had the weirdest.
Here's the sick app.
Yeah. I was reaching for my drink. All of a sudden, I'm in a forest and exploding. My drink is also on fire.
Hey, the drinks that are on fire are the best.
Right?
Not when they stay on fire. You have to put them out. And they need to start on fire. They can't, like, start as drinkable and then be on fire. That is a bad order of events. Nobody wants the second step to be on fire. That needs to be stage one.
That's fair.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Mr. Beggs, because we're doing things a little out of order, you got any shout-outs with your final score?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to the folks of Temp Chat and the folks of our Spinfoil Theory podcast, because mm-hmm. we've been playing together a little bit and having a grand old time here recently. And, yeah, folks, some old friends, some new friends, it's been a blast recently, especially with all the raiding for the past few weeks. It's been fantastic what we've been able to do just based on Bungie kind of bringing the old raids back to prominence again. And yeah, I got Fallen Armaments yesterday, so
he did. Nice. It was in one of the three raids where I did not get Anarchy.
This wasn't entirely intended to rub it in Taylor's.
Not yeah, so partially it was though. And I hope you fall down, the bagels. just write down. My My final score is I'm gonna be like that dude who gets to go last on Price is Right, and I'm gonna say 69 plausibles. Yeah.
One up me. Let's see how it is.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. I think it's got a lot of legs. I think there's plenty of room narratively for them to be like, oh, well, like, maybe, but no, if they really want to, or they just, like, decide that they don't ultimately want to write about that character again. But, like, I think, honestly, they wrote it, a lot of people are talking about it, so I think it's pretty plausible, even if it's, like, an offhand, like, oh, yeah, Jerry was in the fucking Almighty for 4 years, trying to flip a switch. Hey, he just got back.
Yeah.
I would be here. Oh, you found it, the Omgars guy. Yeah. I think it's perfectly plausible. There's definitely like room for error, but yeah, I'd say based on what we know the rules are, I think it's a probable.
There's tons of rooms for error, but it's fun to hope for the best.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I can do it.
Can't argue with that.
Well, ooh, you know what? I forgot about this. What if the ghost returned to the Traveler to get reset?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Well, do we have any
Guardian? So there's two possibilities there, though. What if he crashes, but the time thing doesn't turn off till after? Like, after the crash is settled for whatever reason, like, it's damaged, like, slightly slower, like, the damage hasn't quite affected it yet. And then it turns off, and he's, like, trying to stop the thing, and he's just, like, in the middle of this wreckage. And it turns out his ghost went back to the Traveler and rezzed another Guardian.
Do we have any lore about ghosts being able to be recharged like that?
Sagria does it on the road with Osiris to a warlord. They put down the warlord in this case, I will note, but then Sagria kind of, like, flashes her ghost bubble in the other ghost bubble and basically, like, makes it go back to the Traveler so that it can find another Guardian.
Oh, right.
So you can't, like, you can't, like, hand them out. You can't, like, send your ghost to someone else, for example. But at least in that instance, I don't know if that's unique to Sagri, if that's something all ghosts can do, but it got sent to pick someone else.
Well, like, I think we do have actual entries where ghosts can revive other guardians.
Mm-mm.
But you only have that one full res for the initial res.
So what we see, and this is mostly, and sorry, not to sound like super authority, it's just we recorded an episode on this, like, heavily diving into this topic, and what we had been able to glean was just that the in-game mechanics, ghosts can help other ghosts. So if you're picking up, or like you can,
it's like a ghost, burst of light that you're transferring over to that ghost.
To the ghost, then yeah. They can pick up the Guardian.
Yeah.
So, like, your ghost can't pick up another Guardian or anyone else as long as it's your ghost. There is this one instance where a warlord who gets put down, their ghost gets, like, synced, interfaced with by Sagria. And then it's, like, the way she explains it to Osiris is she had it go back to the Traveler to be redeployed or whatever. So then it'd be like starting from ground zero, as I interpreted it.
Okay.
But like, as far as like a ghost being able to heal someone else, not so much. If that makes sense, as a distinction.
No, it makes sense.
So yeah, to all the fans of Jaren Ward's ghost being Shin Malfur's, like, no, sorry, they just like to hang out. he can't res Shin. Unfortunately.
Right, like, we haven't seen anything about Shin dying.
He hasn't. We have read about him talking about,
well,
or at least other people talking about how he
has.
Aside just
from
the
his
one
initial
life.
Res.
When he became risen, right?
Right.
From Taishen.
Yep.
His Gorst. I do like, that was one of my proud papa moments when it turned out he really was a boy guardian.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Well, and like, those two ghost stories entries just fit so well in my own head that I instantly read it and I was like, oh, that's Shin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It had to be confirmed later, but yeah.
Well, I mean, as all things do, I think.
Right.
I mean, remember when it was completely reasonable that the speaker was Reza Lazir? It was completely reasonable.
Yeah.
That first entry, completely reasonable.
Yeah.
Turned out to be wrong, but completely reasonable at the time. And same thing before Taishen, it was pretty reasonable to speculate that that Jaren Ward's ghost had gone to Shin. Like that was completely reasonable. So I'm you guys and listeners, like I am never knocking anyone who recorded something different, because in my, as far as I'm aware, everyone who recorded something different did that when that was a completely reasonable and like pretty popular thought in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's no, you know, I'm saying all this after the fact. I have.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're just talking about how things turned out, not knocking any more famous videos you may have seen. We're just recording after they did. So, you know, I'm sure those creators would be agreeing with us, like in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Shout outs. My shout out this week is going to be, I'm gonna take this a little different. My shout outs to the Commonwealth of Virginia for having mandatory in place safety restrictions due to COVID-19. First place in the country. I'm not saying it couldn't have happened sooner. I'm not saying it shouldn't be more widespread. But hey, it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And I live in DC. I happen to work in the Commonwealth, so thanks. Thank you, Old Dominion. But my shout out is for the government body stepping in. Quite less jokingly is that I really appreciate people putting restrictions and policies in place to keep everyone safe, and it's something I would like to see more of. So I'm gonna call it out and support it when it actually does happen. So shout out to everyone being safe if they have to be in their workplace and don't have the luxury of working from home.
Indeed.
Cheers, cheers.
Completely agree.
Thank you. So. On that note, guys, I think you know, we in the podcast biz call this a lot of solid fucking content. Like there's a saying in radio, if you put that on the radio, people would listen to it. And I think that's a great show of what we've got here. So thank you again for being our guest. Thank you all the listeners and fans of hanging out with us each week. Stay safe out there, keep yourself safe, and you'll see you next time. Bye.
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 That's the end of this week's topic, but be sure to check out our past and future episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. If you have any questions about this week's topic, want to discuss Destiny lore with us, or if you just feel like reaching out to us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinfoilTheory, or you can email us via SpinfoilTheory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!